there's the message, and the message, I think, is timeless because it's the Word. The Word is timeless. The Word of God, it's powerful, it's effective, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Jesus Christ, who is also the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Like, these words were written thousands of years ago to people in a whole different space and time, with a whole different set of political and social things going on, a whole different system to deal with, and yet they still speak today. Whether you care about the context that I'm sort of wrapping this in, it's really irrelevant because this is a message for every month. But there are some specific things on my mind because we are going into Pride. If the context doesn't work for you, just wait because it's not really totally about that. But power for Pride. As someone who is part of the LGBTQA community, and if you're in this room, you probably are one of those, and someone who's a Christian, which more than likely, you're also a part of that community if you're here. I don't know about y'all, but I feel pretty much constantly caught between two worlds. Y'all watch Grace and Frankie, the Netflix original? Their theme song is like, "Stuck in the middle with you." So yeah, I'm stuck in the middle with y'all. You feel that way? Do you ever feel that? Am I the only one? And things like Pride Month make that glaringly obvious. Because I, like most of you, am addicted to my social medias. And I get on the face space, and I'm from the mountains, which I've found has a lot more kindness and tolerance than a lot of other places, actually. I see those two worlds come really alive on my news feed. I am crazy and silly and maybe naive and optimistic enough to think that we can actually build a bridge between those two worlds. But we have work to do. There's literally a whole world to be won. Two whole worlds to be won. There's a whole nation to reach, literally. A nation with our own language, flag, culture. And the ironic thing about that is that for the evangelical groups most willing to go into all the nations, they're probably the least willing to go to this one particular nation, right? But see, that's where I'm kind of silly and crazy and optimistic and naive, is because that sort of excites me. Because I'm like, ooh, no one wants to go over there. I want to go over there. My wife has me watching Grey's Anatomy right now. Because I've never seen it. You know why I've never seen it? Because when it first came on, everybody was watching it. I don't like to do anything that everybody's doing. Thank you. But now I realize Grey's Anatomy is actually pretty great. And I stayed way too late watching it. So I'm sort of excited. I'm sort of excited that there is a, like Jesus put it to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Because see, he was talking specifically about something totally different place, different time, different thing on their minds. So what that tells me is that this has happened before. This isn't the first time. This isn't the first nation that was unreachable. This isn't the first wall that needed to come down. This isn't the first bridge that has ever been built, y'all. There's been bridge after bridge after bridge after bridge because Jesus said this crazy thing. And it gets me every time. He told his boys, he said, "Boys, you don't get this right now, but I have sheep in another pen. And I have to go get them. And I have to not leave them over there, but I have to bring them to be with the rest of y'all." One day when I read that, I felt the Lord just speak so clearly to me, but I need you to know it's not in the text. But what I felt the Lord speak was, "I will always have sheep in another pen." And even for those of us who have been sheep in that other pen, there's people outside of our, like, what who we think belong. So let us not, you know, get so on our outcast high horse that we think, you know, we're the last of the unreachables. We're not. Always. To the end of time, I believe that God is so massive, so expansive. His love is so immense that it, just like when he said, let there be light, and science tells us that light travels, and as it travels, the universe expands and things are created. Like as it goes, it just gets bigger and bigger. That's how I see the love of God. It's just bigger and bigger and bigger, and there will always be sheep in another pen. There will always be somebody else God wants at the table. God's big. So for those of us, if you feel caught between two worlds, whether it's these two worlds or not, you know, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, where you feel stuck and you feel like you got to build the bridge. Maybe it's at work. You know, any peacemakers on your job? My wife is one. At every job she ever has, she is always stuck in the middle of crazy people and crazier people. The thing is, I think God is big enough for all of those worlds. When we feel out, when we feel we are caught in between, God is big enough. I think it's a compliment to be caught in the middle. Because when I think of people who were caught in the middle in Scripture, I think of Joseph. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament, sold by his own brothers into slavery. Wound up, you know, after prison, being a governor in Egypt, a foreign land. And he stood in the middle of Egypt and his own family during a famine. He stood in between nations. Daniel, well, taken captive, wound up finding favor with his captors. Wound up having influence. Wound up being a witness in that nation that caused a king to say, who is this God? Moses literally stood between God and people. Not because God wanted that, but the people were crazy. They're like, God's scary. Someone protect us. God's like, fine, Moses, I'll talk to you, and you can talk to them. Jesus stood between divinity and humanity. He stood between the world and God. He crossed that bridge. He is the bridge. He crossed the bridge. He made the bridge. Paul's a Jew. The Jewiest of Jews. He called himself that. I'm the chief of Jews, schooled as a Pharisee. And yet he's the one God uses to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You don't think she felt caught between two worlds? Caught between two worlds, knowing what God had said. And standing in that very, very difficult place with faithfulness. With integrity, still honoring her parents and her family, still remaining faithful to the man who could have stoned her. She was faithful and she stood right there in it. And after the angel appeared to Joseph, he stood in it with her. That's between two worlds, man. That's building a bridge. There's so many places in Scripture we could go for just insight and encouragement on this. And where I landed for this sermon is with the author of Luke and Acts. Luke and Acts are two parts of the same work authored by the same person. It's written for a Gentile audience, meaning non-Jewish audience. The author himself was not Jewish. Both of those works are very organized, very detailed. In fact, it's Luke's gospel, which, you know, the gospels are the, it's like the life and times of Jesus, you know, it's like the E. Hollywood story of Jesus. Luke's gospel actually brings a lot of validity to the other ones because he used like a lot of facts, things that were datable, traceable, believable, organized, detailed. He includes a lot of geographical detail. He was probably a physician, so he talks a lot about healing. He talks a lot about the birth of Jesus. I thought this was cool. I'd never really noticed or thought about this, but Luke's gospel records various prayers and worship songs that aren't found in other gospels. I thought that was really cool. Mary, filled with the Spirit, burst into song. Zechariah, who I think you preached on a couple weeks ago, filled with the Spirit, burst into song. I love that. And nobody records those things besides Luke. Also, what's cool is because he didn't know Jesus. He would not have known Jesus at all. He would have never met Jesus. So everything that's in his works has either come from like reading other works or interviews, which is probably the things that are in Luke that aren't in anything else have come from interviews, which is really cool to me because that's the stuff people remembered. That's the stuff that he's like, oh, you met Jesus, tell me what happened. This is the stuff they remembered. This is the stuff that sticks out. Parables. There's some parables that are only in Luke. There's a lot of them, but here's just a few, and I want you to tell me, I don't know, what does this say to you? Luke's the only person that recorded the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember that one? He's the only one that records the prodigal son. He's the only one that records the rich man and Lazarus, the rich fool, the lost coin. Many people, different people. And who were his audience? Unclean, marginalized. Luke was intensely interested in, like Loida and the team sang this morning, the wideness of the gate. The wideness. You know what I mean by that? The inclusivity. Luke really wanted to make sure everybody knew that this is for everyone. So the same person wrote the book of Acts. I'm in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to just read the first few verses here. Dear Theophilus, in the first volume of this book, which was what? What was the first volume? Luke. In the first volume of this book, I wrote on everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he said goodbye to the apostles. Anyone find that interesting? The stuff Jesus began to do before dying. The ones he had chosen through the Holy Spirit and was taken up to heaven. After his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days in face-to-face meetings. He talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me, John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and soon. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? Isn't that such a question we would ask? Lord, are you going to give us a just leader? Is now the time? You're going to set everything right? Jesus' answer. He told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. And I want you to hear this. What you'll get. Actually, hang on just a second. Is anybody asking that question? Is now the time? Are you asking that question to God about a job, about a partnership, about a ministry, about reconciliation with your family? Is now the time? Is now when I'm going to get that really affirming letter from mom? Is now the time that Honeydew Melon's going to get invited to Thanksgiving dinner? And I make jokes, but those are serious questions. And that's a painful place to be. Waiting is literally the worst. That's a new, somebody preached that. Waiting is literally the worst. And so if you're asking those questions, is now the time? I want you to hear Jesus answer you right now. You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in your town, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. These were his last words. And Luke, who's very careful, very organized, said these were his last words. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there, staring into the empty sky. Suddenly, two men appeared in white robes. They said, "You Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and as mysteriously as he left." That's the opening to the book of Acts. What else happens in Acts? Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, for the first time, falls on a big old group of people all at once. It wasn't the first time the Holy Spirit had filled a person. In fact, Luke himself made a point to say, Mary was filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit while his mom was pregnant with him. Zechariah was filled with the Spirit when the Lord gave him his voice back. He was filled with the Spirit. He said, that guy's name is John, and now I'm going to sing because the Lord is good. Luke records a lot of that. He records Jesus being full of the Spirit, John the Baptist being full of the Spirit. But the book of Acts, so yeah, the Spirit falls for the first time like on just everyone. What else happens in Acts? Church is started. A lot of miracles. Martyrdom. Is there any, are there any bridges that get built that we read about in the book of Acts? The one I'm thinking about is where these good old Jewish boys, full of the Holy Spirit, do what Jesus says. They go out, they start to be witnesses, and then their minds are blown because not only Jews are getting saved. Peter, he's the good old boy of all good old boys. Like, and what happened? What happened with him? God showed him. And it's actually Peter who stands up in the Council of Jerusalem and goes, look, y'all, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But he goes, look, y'all, I don't get it either. I was raised just like y'all, and I don't understand either. But what I can say is these folks have the Holy Spirit just like you and just like me. So here are some things that I take from Luke and Acts sort of together, because they come from the same author, that I wanted to point out and have us think about. The kingdom, and by the way, when I say kingdom, what I mean is like all-encompassing reality of God. You know, like the Matrix, Neo's inside the Matrix, but he doesn't know that it's not real. There's like a reality. That's what I mean. I mean, like, we're here, it's real, but like, there's something bigger. There's something eternal, even in the midst of us right now, right? Jesus is building the kingdom of God right now. So if you don't like the word kingdom, reality, God life, new creation, Matrix, I mean, whatever. Whatever you like. But that's what I mean. God's reality. So God's reality is wildly inclusive. Luke made sure that we got that. From the Good Samaritan to the prodigal son. Look, you don't steal your daddy's inheritance, go out and eat with some pigs, and just come back like nothing happened. That is wildly inclusive to the people who heard that story. To then everything that, in Acts just, Something else that you guys have talked about all morning. God's reality is experienced and it expands in community. What I mean is, unless I'm with you, the fruit of the Spirit and what God's doing in the kingdom, the stuff that God's doing, it doesn't really mean anything if I'm in a bubble by myself, right? Like, I'm patient and perfectly wonderful, and I have perfect peace when I'm alone in a bubble and there's nothing else in the world. But God's reality is experienced and expands in community, and a really cool way that Luke draws us back to that in his writings, he writes more about feasts and meals than anyone else. And with that, I want you to remember what we said a minute ago about he got a lot of his information from interviews. What did people remember? They remembered the meals. But it wasn't about the meal. It was because when Jesus would sit down at a meal with people, he would start teaching about the kingdom. He'd start telling parables. He'd start saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what the kingdom of God, this, he taught them around a table. Luke, it's in Luke, it's all in Acts. They're always breaking bread. That was church. Didn't you guys have this in Sunday school this morning? What is the Sunday celebration? It's the love feast. It wasn't their day of ritual. A lot of these folks were still Jewish, so they were going to synagogue on Saturday. But the Lord's Day, that was a feast. It was a day for community. It was a day to gather around a table and encourage each other. It was a day to maybe invite someone new to the table. Because not everybody can go to the synagogue. But they can come sit at my table. Can we be those kind of people? Can we please be those kind of people that the folks that cannot, do not want to, are not welcome, cannot walk through the doors of a church, they say, you know what, I would never go to church, but I will go sit at Joy's table. Can we be those kind of people? Yeah. So God's reality is experienced and expands in community. Get in community. God's reality is inhabited by individuals who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to make a distinction what I mean. I mean, God's Spirit is it. God's Spirit is like permeating the earth and our reality. And I mean, God's Spirit is everywhere. But I don't just mean that. I mean individuals who are filled with the Spirit. How are the nations saved? Person by person, it is souls who are saved. Not systems, not nations, not communities, not groups. It's individuals. And through relationships, and through community, and through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so, the system can change. You know, we're talking about we're caught between the two worlds, you know. The system can change. But it's not going to change by like, oh, blink, new leader, the whole system's fixed now. The system can only change when every heart in the system is changed. Religion can change. The institution of the church can change. But it's not overnight, like, oh, well, y'all gotta accept, get your life together. Now, the Pope's great, so now the church is great. No. The church can change when the people change, when the heart is changed. That's super frustrating because I wish there was like a magic wand, like if Christopher Coleman was president, everything would be okay. Unfortunately, it's not that way. So it's frustrating on that end, but it's also encouraging on another end because you know what? I can't make the whole system change, but I can talk to one person. But I can talk to one Baptist. I can put a Baptist at my table. So filled with the Holy Spirit, what is that? It's a thing. It's a real thing. I'm going to tell it to you like this. God is for us. The universe is scary. Do you watch Big Bang Theory? It is so scary. We need a supreme being that is for us, that is looking out for us, that has a will for us, that has a plan for us. We need that. And we have that. We have God for us. We don't just have God for us, though. One of the names prophesied that the Messiah would be, that Jesus would be, is Emmanuel. God with us. See, it's not enough for God to be somewhere off in a starry sky. That's never the plan. Jesus comes and walks with us. God walks with us. But God's not just for us. God's not just with us. We also have God in us. Mind blown. God in us. I don't talk about that enough. I don't think about that enough. I'm like super impressed that Jesus came to be with us. And I'll be honest, I sometimes forget that also God is in us. All, everyone. In fact, they get excited and when it happens and they're like, oh my gosh, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is our favorite scripture in the Pentecostal church. I had this like on t-shirts, literally. In the last days, God says. Oh, but I'm going to get excited today. I can already tell. I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Jewish prophet said that. Every kind of people. He probably didn't know what he was saying. Your sons will prophesy. It ain't about age. Young people, y'all about to hear something that's going to blow your mind. I know some of y'all just gave your life to Jesus. Let me tell you something. You better open your mouth and start prophesying. This is not just for grown-up people. You are to be filled with the Spirit. You are to be witnesses of Jesus in your school, in your family, to your parents, to your friends. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both also. And they will prophesy. All. Everyone. What is the Holy Spirit? It's power. It's God in us. Remember that whole thing? Like, is it time? Is it time? Is it time to come out? Is it time for my mom to, you know, like, are we going to be okay? Like, is it time? Is it time? And Jesus says, timing is the Father's business. But I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when I give you the Holy Spirit, you will be able for whatever comes, whatever that next text message is. I got one of those text messages yesterday. I rarely get them. Well, is it not time? Have we not been through this already? My Lord, I've been out for a decade. Am I still getting this text message? Because I invited someone to a bluegrass concert I was playing in. You can't come hear my bluegrass concert because, you know, you can't support homosexuality. So, of course, my response is still, really? Is it not time? And I hear Jesus say, timing's not your business. Amen. I'm not going to give you all the answers. It may never work out the way I think it's going to. But the promise is, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when I give you the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able. You're going to be able to get that next email. You're going to be able to respond with gentleness, with self-control. You're going to be able to hold that tension. You're going to be able to build the bridge, to stand in between those two worlds. You can't do it alone. Stop trying to do it alone. Stop trying to do it with a slogan and a bumper sticker. Amen. That ain't working. Sorry. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a bumper sticker, and then everybody's going to think you're super smart, and they'll agree with you. So I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able to hold whatever comes. And you will be my witness. Not you'll be right. Not you'll win the argument. Not you're going to make them feel like crap because they rejected you. In fact, probably the opposite. You're going to hold that tension because I'm going to help you hold it. You're going to keep your patience. You're going to respond in love. You're going to keep your joy even though it hurts. You're going to be at peace even though you want to throat punch somebody. Because that's the witness. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to wear the Whosoever t-shirt. It's wonderful to be like, woo, we're whosoevers, woo. But the witness is in the fruit. Day by day, person by person, conversation by conversation. These people that he said this to, you know what being a witness meant? You know what they had to hold? You know what they had to hold their peace through? Martyrdom. And they did it. And we have a faith because they did it. Pastor Jonathan gives one of the best, most convincing arguments for the gospel that I've ever heard. And it's a long time ago you preached it. But it's the fact that the people who saw Jesus rise from the dead, they never wavered from that. They were tortured, filleted. Someone was filleted. Who even thinks of that? And everybody watching goes, whoa, this must actually be true. When they watch our lives, it's not in the t-shirt, it's not in the bumper sticker, it's not in the great programs we have here at our Affirming Church, even though we got to keep doing those and we got to be faithful. But are you going to change a heart? When you keep standing there and you keep producing that fruit of the Spirit, because that's what Peter took back to Jerusalem. That's what Paul took back to Jerusalem. You remember that story? This is in Acts. Go read it. It's super exciting. All the lazy bums who just wanted to, you know, sit up in their church house and tell everybody what to do instead of going out and building the church. They're like, oh, well, the Gentiles they just have to convert to be Jews or else they can't be saved. They must be circumcised. They must submit to all of our dietary laws. They can't possibly be saved. No, they're not saved. They're not. Peter and Paul brought back the testimony. I know, I see what you're saying, and that's what you'd think. However, they are saved. They have the Holy Spirit. They're living it. It's happening. It's already done. Like, we don't even have to decide. It's already done. Is that what will be said of you and me? And a second question to that. How can it be said if they don't know us? If we're not sitting down and having those conversations, if we're not willing to go sit at someone's table, if we're not willing to invite someone somewhere. Churches are wrestling with this. all the time. We need to be praying for them. They're wrestling with this. And the world is watching how the churches are handling this. And they're getting nasty too. I want somebody to walk into one of those conference rooms and say, I know you can't believe this, but I met this chick. And she's got the Holy Spirit and a wife. Like, can that please happen? And there's two things that have to happen. A, I have to be filled with the Spirit and keep my witness and trust God to help me. And number two, I have to give them a chance to see that. The world is watching. Why do I need to be filled with the Spirit? Like, why can't I do it alone? Why do I need the Spirit to be the witness? That's a huge question. There are lots of answers to that, but these are the ones that are on my heart. And Lloyd has already sang it a lot of times today. The Spirit, Scripture calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of adoption. It's in Romans chapter 8. Read it. It's great. It says that the Spirit of adoption within us tells us we are children of God. Why do we need that in the middle of this conversation? Why do we need the Spirit of adoption telling us we are children of God? It empowers us, and because there are lots of people that tell us we're not. Sometimes we tell ourselves we're not. When you start feeling that, when you start, who am I? What is this about? I can't do anything. No. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Spirit of adoption tells us that we're children of God. The Spirit is also called the Spirit of truth that guides us and helps us discern what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's not. I don't think I can turn on my TV and have that given to me. But the Spirit of truth, we need that. We need to discern right from wrong. We need to be able to walk in the truth. And then another one is that it's the Spirit that produces evidence of the new creation. That's that witness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Evidence of the new creation is, do you know them? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, what? Meekness, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering. We need those. We need to be able to respond in gentleness. We need to have self-control. We need to have faithfulness. Last thing. How? How am I filled with the Spirit? It's a fair question, isn't it? When you are filled with the Spirit. Because when that Spirit of adoption starts rising up and starts telling me, you're a child of God. You feel it this morning? When we were singing, I am a child of God. Man, I just want to shout. I want to run. I want to scream like I just won the lottery. And that's okay. But it's not the only thing that happens. So here's the breakdown. How do I be filled with the Spirit? There's only one thing I feel comfortable telling you. Because there's like records of it happening lots of ways with lots of different sort of manifestations. So I only have one biblical instruction for you. And then I have one Book of Deb suggestion to accompany the instruction. The instruction comes from Jesus. And it's in Luke, of course, Luke. Chapter 11, 10 to 13. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse, hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask Him? So that's the instruction. That's simple enough, right? Ask. And then here's my suggestion for you when you ask. Let go of what you think that's going to look like. Amen. Because the Spirit is timeless. It's not the same way every time. You don't need the same thing in every situation. Ask to be filled with the Spirit. Ask to be filled with the Spirit every day.